Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I am your host. We have a very interesting guest today. Her name is Pam Rennie, and she is a master healer, mentor, and channeler. And her website is Pam Rennie, PamRennie.com. And she is called your Sacred Journey Mentor. How are you doing today, Pam? How's it going?
Hey, Amy. I'm great. Thank you for having me today.
Well, thank you for coming on. I was reading your bio, and I see that you are, Pam is a gifted and uniquely qualified heart point technique master, an IET practitioner, an alchemist, and a channel. And you draw from both your master healers and those who are just embarking on their spiritual journeys as well. How did you get into this work? What fascinated you? I like to give people like a background of where we've come from, because we've been on the journey for a long time, it sounds like, you and I.
Yeah, that's so true, and that's a great question. Thanks for asking. You know, it's interesting, and I kind of love to look back on my life and ask the same question of, how did I get here? So, you know, I came in to this embodiment with such a curiosity. That's a big word. And I was pretty young when I started realizing I wanted to know what was true. I wanted to know why I was here. I mean, I didn't know anyone else asking that question. And I seemed to kind of put that question a little bit aside as life got busy and I grew up. And the other thing I really knew I wanted to do was be a mom. And I did that, and I am that. And come about midlife, when many go through multiple kind of awakening changes, that's where that question came back again in a really big way. I was always on a journey and a search. I didn't know it as much being a mom, thinking that was really my role. But I woke up one spring morning, such a distinct feeling of, is this it, really?
Hmm. Yeah.
There's kind of more.
Mm-hmm.
And something really pronounced came over me. I realized I'd stopped dreaming. I'd lost sight of those dreams of what I wanted to be and accomplish and experience. And that really propelled me on a search in a new way to really answer that, what's this life? And one door after another opened. Mastering Alchemy was one of the most pronounced doors that opened to me and really propelled me into the world of alchemy and what is that.
Okay.
And took me down a metaphysical journey of knowing and finding out that there's a lot of ways to heal. And it evolved me into really a remembering, not all at once, not like I wanted to know, tell me, I want that lightning bolt of what am I here to do? But kind of line upon line into awakening that piece, that big question of what else is there in this life? So I hope that gives a little bit of a background.
Yeah, but that's good, because I knew growing up in the household that I grew up in that it was weird. I didn't feel like I belonged, but yet I knew there was something more to this life than what I was growing up in, which was negativity, alcoholism, and abuse and neglect.
Mm.
So I had known that, and sometimes we have that inner knowing that things are supposed to be different, but we just don't know how to until we get older.
Exactly. That is so true. I realize, you know, that I was really in communication with the angelic realm at a young age, but I did not know that. I didn't know that's who they were. I just called them like my little friends, the bears, the fairies, those outside. And I had this active imagination. Never dawned on me that that's what that was about. In fact, it was on the path of mastering alchemy when I was at a conference with my husband, and there was probably about 250 people, and we were going into another meditation, and we were told by our mentor, Jim Self, that we were going to be visiting the archangelic realm and meeting the archangels. And I sat bolt upright and looked around the room like, what? He just said, what? And no one else looked surprised. I seemed to be the only one that go, wait a minute, hold on here. This is real? Not just, you know, in the Bible or statues? Yeah. And they said to me, did he just say that? Mm-hmm. And that's how kind of, in a way, that separation we go through, that's really what that was for me. And talk about a whole opening expansion quite rapidly, seemingly, and really changes from those moments forward to connect with the angels and to awaken the spiritual gifts, which most, not all of us, but many, because we didn't fit in. We knew we didn't fit in. We knew we were different growing up. Our spiritual gifts weren't always active. We didn't know they were, at least. We didn't know they were real. That was my experience. So my clairaudience is one of the first things to just awaken. And again, I did not know. I didn't seek that out. I didn't think logical that I was going to be a channel. Me? Are you kidding me? I was really shy and quiet. You want me to do what? That was my response.
Yes, I know. You want me to do what again? You know, I always tell them, you know, I'm very sarcastic with my guides and the angels. Like, you guys can keep smoking whatever you're smoking on the other side, because I have no idea why you want me to do it. They're like, well, you did sign up for this. And they're like, okay.
I thought I was the only one to argue with an archangel, but my first experience, I can see that you do, to channel formally, was... Archangel Gabriel was coming in, and he wanted me to deliver this information to my husband. And I said, are you kidding me? I tell the guy enough stuff. Why don't you tell him? And he said, I want to tell him through you. And I was like, but this isn't just me and you. That's what I love about this. This is for everyone. This is available to everyone walking the walk to know that we're not alone on this journey. And I think now more than ever, we need that peace of mind, that comfort of knowing that we're connected.
Mm-hmm. And we are connected. We're all interconnected, whether we're, I don't want to say more on the knowledge scale than others. Let's put it that way. I don't like to use the word evolution. I really don't. Because it's like, you know more than I do. No, I just studied my path a little bit more than you have. But you can reach that point if you'd like to. It sounds like that's what you do with your work. You help people with that path, discovering themselves and where they came from and why they're here.
That's my passion. And it's so, you know, I hadn't heard that thought on the word evolution. That's really interesting. I might take a look at that myself, because I use it, and I would not have thought of it that way. And my line is always, I'm not better than anyone. I'm not different. I may have come in with a different assignment, with different, you know, interests, with different, I signed up for that. I did, really? Oh, my gosh. Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. And it is my passion to help those who are also feeling that quest of, why am I here, to discover that.
Yeah, and I feel you're correct that there's a lot of us who are coming in, and we're at this point of, you know, awakening. There's a lot of awakening. I mean, I notice even when I'm doing readings and healings, people are asking why this, why that, how come I don't feel... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting where I want to be in my life. How come I'm not feeling fulfilled? How come I'm feeling something's missing? And they got that thirst and that hunger for, you know, finding out who the hell they are and now what they are.
Yeah.
And what they can bring materialistically, right? Yeah.
And I'm often saying lately, come on, can we do this a little more comfortably? And I'm reminded often, you look at some of the big names, those that are very, known and followed, their paths weren't easy. And
people?
I don't know. I don't have all those answers of why we learn some of the biggest things we learn and the challenges, but they do get our attention. It's like when I wrote to you this morning to just connect about our time, I called it getting whacked with a spiritual 2x4.
Yep.
Because sometimes those experiences, and Divine Mother brought that little tool into me about a year ago. I thought, oh my gosh, I just saw this big beam. I thought, that looks like a 2x4. I feel like I just got smacked because they will not intervene, but yet they really would like to get our attention. And sometimes it's that a forced quiet or something to make everything come to a stillness so we can be at the place of paying attention sometimes is all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Let's talk about that. You had a kind of an awakening, and I'm going to ask you, how do you pronounce this, Liahona, and who are your new friends?
Yeah, that's a big one. I'm realizing time to make some updates to my website because that ever-changing, I don't know about you before I answer that, I feel like almost each step each week, I'm continuing to grow and expand and become more aware. So things change so quick. So answering that question, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I could feel, and it was around the time Divine Mother was coming more forward. I've never been one to channel just one archangel or one being. There are always lots of them. And I guess that's fitting of my personality, just kind of the way I am. So I kept feeling this change coming. I kept feeling that there was a group of beings. It was a very unusual feeling for me, and I was a little kind of apprehensive going, And finally I thought, okay, what's going on here? And the new friends came forward. And I heard about them when my mentor, Jim Self, has been Master in Alchemy, has been a very pivotal part of my remembering who I am. And we were doing a specific body of work, and he pointed to a group of beings that were assisting, and he said, they're your new friends. And I reacted like my entire being just sat up like, oh my gosh, here you are. I had the most physical response, and anyone else I talked to was like, did you hear him say that? What did you think of that? And they're like, I didn't catch that. And it was huge for me. And I realized it was kind of a door opening for me to tap into what I'd been feeling. So, and I really, these are a group of beings that have been assisting us, bringing the color codes in, the rays of light through the great central sun for very much more consciously for about the last 2 years, but very actively participating in the shift of consciousness that we're experiencing. But they did not go through the fall of consciousness, and they're not in bodies. I call them a collective of group of beings of all that is, in simple terms, you know? So it took me a while because, again, I was at the place of, wait, you want me to do what? And they came in very big and bold and, oh, my gosh, blunt. And I went, wait a minute. And they really wanted me to bring them forward. And it was like, okay, hold on. And the first thing I was doing was saying, well, what am I going to call you? Who are you? And as I really got used to more and more their energy and their feel, and I'm just going to take a breath and invite everyone to feel into these friends because they are our friends and they love us and they are passionate about our personal growth, our personal shifts and evolution and why we are here. And they are great transmitters of light. So in that quest to call them something other than the new friends, because that just felt weird, and they kept saying, we are your friends, and I said, okay. I was looking for a name, and I realized I was looking for some aspect of them to come forward, and I was doing my own new radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and I was getting ready for that one morning. And I was walking downstairs, and as I walked into my kitchen, the name Liahona just dropped like it dropped out of the sky. Liahona. And I knew what that was. The Liahona is a tool. It's a very beautiful round globe type tool. And this goes to a spiritual story from when I was in a religion called the Latter-day Saints. I knew the Liahona from the biblical stories from the Book of Mormon. this Liahona was gifted to a family that was fleeing Jerusalem, and they were in the wilderness, totally lost. They came out of their tent, the father did, who was a prophet, and there's this thing on the ground. So I'm looking at this body of information, hearing that name, knowing it's a compass, it's a way to God, going, it's not who they are, that's who I am. I'm the Liahona. I am the pointer, too. I am the compass. And I thought, wait a minute here. I had had a reading done. I don't do many readings with others, but one of the first ones I ever had done about 9 months before that she said, first thing she said is, I think you should change your name. And I went, oh my gosh, I hope the reading goes better than this because I am not all about changing my name. Are you kidding me? And I just kind of tucked that aside, and here I am hearing this exactly a year ago and thought, oh gosh, really? Well, it describes what I do. It has a great vibration, but I still was kind of going, am I supposed to bring this forward on the radio show? I don't know about this. And within 5 minutes, I got a text message from a really dear friend of mine who shared something that I never knew. I knew this part. I knew she changed her name. I didn't ever pay attention to really her story behind that. I just knew she'd done that. And for the first time ever, she's sharing with me, I want you to know I'm so happy. Today is the anniversary of the day I changed my name. And I just got goosebumps.
Mm. Nice.
So I started using the Liahona in sessions with clients and on the radio and tried it out and thought, that does describe what I do. And it just became like another spiritual hat I wear when I'm connecting more concisely, if you will, with these friends. And a funny story.
Sure.
I did a session with someone, brand new, about 3 weeks ago, who knew nothing about the friends or anything. And it's not updated. Hadn't been updated on my website at that point. And I introed to share a tiny bit about, they probably will come forward, just so you know. I didn't give them a name. I just said a group of beings. And sure enough, they popped in and they introduced themselves and said, we are the new friends. And he started laughing. And I thought, okay, no problem, you know. Mm-hmm. And I found out he laughed because he had been pacing his home the day before we connected for the first time in kind of an anguish saying, I just have no friends. And he heard, yes, you do. You have new friends. You just don't see them.
Oh,
you can't
it.
Make this stuff up.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
I couldn't tell myself what we read on my website. Nope, I hadn't updated it. He, you know? So, yes.
Yeah, that's funny. That's true, though. I used to feel that way. I used to feel growing up because I felt so alone that I didn't have any friends. And they used to say, you have us, Amy. We love you. You're angels. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are, yeah, okay, whatever. But they became my friends.
Yes. Well, it's true. It's funny. And sometimes it's downright frustrating because we still, I know for me, we still can be looking outside of ourselves for those connections. We still,
yeah.
We want our tribe. We want our people. We want our girlfriends. We want our friends.
Yeah.
And more the message has been so deep to connect within yourself, to be that friend for you and to be connected in these realms of the expanded consciousness because they really are here to help us. But sometimes we want them to be more physical in a sense of like...
Yes. Yeah, we do. And it's really sad because it's funny, you know, they call that song Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And I was just talking to a friend of mine this morning who's a dear person. And this one old... I'll say toxic venomous ex-friend. I call her a frenemy.
Mm-hmm.
I found out some information about her that I was suspecting, but I'm like, I'm not the one who's going to pull the trigger on this one. And, you know, it's amazing how we attract these different individuals because of desperation or feeling lonesome or not feeling worthy enough to be more selective in who we have in our lives. I've had to learn that over the last couple of years.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. The things we experience... You know, and so for 2 years, I've been really pointed more to going within, and I was having an Akashic record reading with my dear friend, who I went to immediately about the friends, and we've done a lot of in the beginning reading around them. And it was really established the friendship with these new friends. And I'm like, well, what, you know, like what, ask them to go to the movies with me? And she's like, well, yeah. I'm like, okay, right. I can just see that. I'm turning and looking at an empty chair going, oh my gosh, can you believe they just said that? And I thought, yeah, I probably can see myself doing that. You know, and another interesting piece of this for me is, I just paused a moment because I'm like, am I going there? Yeah. I just got really quiet all of a sudden. Just a minute.
Yeah,
the
you know,
logic
like,
part, Newman. No,
yeah, really,
like, yeah,
I know. I do the same thing. Do I really want to go there? And they're like, yeah, you might as well. Okay. Okay, guys.
Like, fine. Well, I've learned that sometimes people, when they work with me, they think I've really got it all together. And that's not that I want to point out that I don't. Mm-hmm. But it's that continuing growing. Because, you know, here I'm. The friends were different than just channeling. Excuse me. You know, my family knows I'm working with archangels and ascended masters and all that. And it's still not much different, really, than when I was little, feeling like, where do I fit in? I still feel like that at times. I still feel like, yeah, you want me to say that? All right, I'm going to say that. Or that my, you know,
yeah.
Still learning powerful lessons within the last year to sit at the table with my whole family and go, it's okay that I'm still very different, even among these people I birthed, that they don't really know everything I do, and that's okay. They don't have to understand it. It felt very foreign at first, mm-hmm. and it's been an interesting journey, feeling really comfortable with that. I read something the other day. It would have been a good idea to capture it, but I didn't. But it said something like, no one really knows you. They see the part of you that they can see, and they think who you are from that part.
Mm-hmm.
But only you know who you really are.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I thought,
yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do experience things through our consciousness. Even in channeling, we know we are channeling through the consciousness that we are. We could get a very different type of message, you and I. Still have an enormous value, but different because of who we are and our unique personalities.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
That's
true, though.
Kind of dropped in from I don't know where.
Some things you never know what's going to come out of my mouth on this show. It's kind of like, all right, I have questions, but sometimes it just goes off in different directions and different topics and different areas.
Everything.
Yeah, I'll listen to shows too, and I'll be like, "Where did that all come from?"
Yeah, I do so much, you know. And I want to say this about the friends. Yes, one of the reasons they keep pointing to their friends is because we want that relationship, and they really point, like I've been mentioning, back to being the friend we want to be within ourselves. It's so much about, you know, we get tired of hearing the love yourself, but really being the love that we are, allowing ourselves to nurture ourselves. Most people didn't get that nurturing. I said create a whole segment of healing around nurturing from the womb forward, to going right back to that moment of conception through the womb, through the birth, when many of us in the generations we were born, we came into that screaming, stark lights, slapping the baby on the butt. And who wants that? To bringing in that leveling of nurturing, and the friends are so about bringing that and reminding us. They would say, when we first was bringing them forward more, they'd say, we don't really understand what we see in you humans, because you're not happy. You're not doing happy very well.
Right.
And they'd say it from a place almost like, you got to be kidding me. And
yeah,
kind of right.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
They really remind us to lighten up,
mm-hmm.
to be happy,
mm-hmm.
And there's been a real level of spiritual guilt lifted. We talked about this a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us walking our walks, if you're going to use the title, it kind of can be thrown out. And I don't know, we really like to say healer anymore, but yeah, I've been called that because you can put a lot of energy into what you, quote, should be doing or where you should be at. You know, maybe in the should, we just don't want to shit on ourselves. That's just so uncomfortable. What I love about the friends is they pointed out that sometimes we're just assisting others in transmuting things. We're not attracting something because we did it wrong or because we need to learn something so big or we messed up when we were 7. So guess what? Here's your lesson now, that really we came to experience ourselves in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's as simple as that. That we are transmuting by standing near someone who's, I'm just going to use the example, we're standing near someone, not that that's really happening, but it could be we're connecting with a friend, a new friend per se, a human one, that all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, why did this person come into my life? They're kind of a mess. What did I do to attract that? And maybe we're just assisting them with a light we are to transmute. And maybe there's nothing to do but that. And I realized that felt really empowering.
Mm-hmm.
And it took away a feeling of I hadn't fixed something or I hadn't evolved perfectly, that I'm still attracting something uncomfortable, when maybe another aspect or another approach to look at that was I was assisting them from another avenue, angle, and I wasn't to fix anything. I was just to allow that light that I am to be.
Hmm.
And that's it. I felt kind of freeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes you do blame yourself. You're like, okay, I'm supposed to be the self-realized person, but yet I attract this or that, or I have this person in my life, and I found out this, and I found out that. So there's a lot of self-blame and self-loathing, I think, that goes with that.
Who wants that?
Yeah, I don't want that. Hell no. I don't want any of that. Mm-hmm. I just want to be happy. I just want to be content and blissful and happy.
Yeah. I've also pointed out that something, and maybe you feel this too, I don't always have words, but something very significant, I feel like we changed direction in a sense, that maybe at a mass level that we've reached a certain vibration collectively, and it just feels like something dramatic changed. I don't have much more words for it than that, but I just felt that sense of things feel different, and usually when I'm going through a shift of things feel different, sometimes there are no reference points for that. Literally, mm-hmm. like, it's almost like an I don't even know what to do next feeling. Do you have days like that?
Yes, I do. And I feel like I was going through that, like, the end of last year, beginning part of this year. Like, I was shifting into a new energy and just kind of getting into that. So, oh, yeah. And I did change directions in a major way on something that I thought I was going to be with, and I didn't. I just kind of left it alone and walked away from it.
Big lessons, big experiences.
Yes, and so you go through that, and you just, okay, your gut tells you, or at least my gut told me not to go in this direction, and I just knew, it's like I was repelled against going to something, and I did, and it was painful, but I was glad I did, because I'm at more peace with it, and more content, and not feeling so torn about things. So that's my experience.
It makes me think of an experience I had a couple of weeks ago with someone I mentor. She said she was a little frustrated with herself because she said, I saw the red flags, I saw the signs, and I did it anyway. And the information was, hold on. You did do it anyway, and it brought you something amazing, even though there was a little bit of discomfort in that one little piece of it. And maybe it wasn't a red flag not to do it. Maybe it was a red flag to go, hey, you know what? Be mindful of your energy field because it's going to be a little bit bumpy, but wow, once you get past that part, you're going to experience something absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very, very true. And people, you know, you get self, like I said, self-blame and self-loathing, that should be out of our vocabulary. Definitely.
That and Archangel Metatron said about the last, and sometimes I'm like, I don't feel like he usually talks like this, and this is one where I'd like the 9-3 of sound like that he said it this way, but that our self-doubt will be about the last thing that we'll clear away. And yeah, that's an easy one. When we have big pieces of information come in, like we talked about, kind of going and say, what? You want me to say what? I've done that so many times working one-on-one, and 99.9% of the work I do is connecting over the phone, via the web. It evolved that way, which was fascinating to me, and I love that because I connect with people literally all over the world. And sometimes I'll be feeling in my own mind, you want me to say what?
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually particularly the case when it's a connecting of a loved one that's passed on. I'll get these signs and say, okay. And then I'll say, does this mean anything to you? And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. Yes. And I'm kind of going, oh my gosh, thank you.
I know. And you're just kind of like, you say it, and you just, and people are like, how did you know that? And you're just like, well, I was told to tell you this, and you impact their lives more than other, than ways you can imagine. You may not understand the message, but they're supposed to know it, too.
It's the periscope, the spiritual periscope.
Mm.
Now, there's a word I bet you haven't said maybe in a million years, if ever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the periscope is usually when I was a kid, you know, looking at the periscope and saying, what the hell is this? That's the only time I've said it.
I believe you, and I felt the same way, and that's how I was when I kept hearing that word for a solid month. And I kept seeing, I get funny little words and references, and I was seeing myself like look through a periscope. Like, and my thought was, I was looking like, is it safe to come up yet? Which, that was a joke. I didn't really mean that. But I was really walking the walk of such an expansion that I felt kind of closed in. I wanted to go to a cave somewhere. I wanted to be so away from everything, and that just wasn't realistic. My family probably would go, no, I don't think so. We don't want you to do that. So it was kind of like the way that I could do that. I kind of really got quiet. I wasn't doing any classes. I still had my sessions, and I kept seeing this periscope. And finally, it's a spiritual periscope connecting us to the higher realms of what's available in this expansion. It's a divine connection. And I realized that's my tool with the new friends, is it's looking through this spiritual periscope to see what else is available.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that's what it is. Well, when I had my third near-death experience, I kept seeing panoramic view, and people were like, what the hell is that? Well, when you have a life review, that's what it is. It's a big panorama of things. Never said that word after that. But
wow.
Yeah, exactly. These big words, and people are like, what the hell is that? Well, it's a panoramic view. It's a very wide screen. It's bigger than the movie screens you go see it today in the theaters. So, yeah, that's the word I remember. They kept saying, remember that, Amy? Okay, yes, I do. I remember. They like to, my guides like to remind me of stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do.
Yes, they do, and it's kind of like, okay, I try to forget that now. I got little, yeah, remember that? Yeah, I do. Can we forget about it? So anyway.
And move on. Well, now you've got this periscope you can use, and I know that's something I'll be bringing forward to really kind of help build a bridge for people, because I know many still feel, you know, in that quest of, I don't hear my guides, I don't hear, you do, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of allowing yourself to decide to be more aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't, and awakening those senses and the deeper purpose of, there is a pretty big value to be connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. Definitely. How can we, how many people feel stuck in habits and patterns? How do you mentor them through that? You know, people say, call me up too, and they'll say, I'm stuck. Really? Are you?
Yeah.
Or did you decide that? And I want to say that to them, but I can't. Sometimes I just don't. I'm just like, mm-hmm. How do you help them?
You bring up something really valuable, because, of course, we know lost through the law of attraction. But if you think you are, then you may very well be. So it's a thought process. But, you know, what I've come to experience for myself and when I observe others, I call it the default pattern. You know, if we look at how amazing we are and how brilliant we are and how capable we are, we could easily say, why aren't we doing more? And there's multiple answers to that, many of which is, well, we're still learning and growing things. But one of the biggest things to deal with that stuckness, and there can be 10 ways to answer this on 10 different days, but I'm going to go to that default. We have it can be unconscious, especially when we're going through those points of where we are losing the reference and we almost don't know what day it is or what to wear because everything feels so different that we don't know which end is up. But it can be a little comfortable in the discomfort of falling back, if you will, into the old ways. It's not always conscious. You know, look at people that have been through some very traumatic life experiences when they were young. Mm-hmm. Doesn't just go away. Some of those fragments take a lot of healing. So to be specific, I assist them with guiding them to clear out their energy field to make certain there's no static. As multidimensional beings, where there's aspects of our consciousness that can be still patterning after other lifetimes. So it's a matter of making certain, without having to go into any story, but just disconnecting from that so that we're in this lifetime fully present, not with some old DNA from ancestral patterns. It's kind of I do a soul unification or a soul retrieval, if you will, of collecting oneself up. And in particular, this is huge, releasing all those projections of all of the people that have loved you in your life, like your mom and dad, that said, no, you can't do that. Are you kidding me? That was my mom when I wanted to be a nurse. That's disgusting. Mm. I know that's enough. Okay? Yeah. And we still run those programs. So it doesn't have to be a huge process. Many things can happen instantaneously, but it is a little bit of awareness of disconnecting from those things, conscious and unconscious, and extremely important, putting attention and focus on what you want to experience. What do you want to be doing? And I'm about to say something else, but I want to pause and say, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yep. Oh, yeah. It makes total sense to me.
Yeah,
it does.
Mm-hmm. And we don't consciously, I think, mean to replicate a lot of those things, but we do.
Yeah.
And it is a process and a choice, and decision is a huge tool, just like our thoughts are, to empower us that we absolutely can do things in a new, different, and more empowering way.
Mm.
And that other thing I was going to share, hold on, that just went somewhere else. Well, that's fascinating. It was a segue into. Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
I know.
Yeah, there's people don't, let's get back into the ancestral generational healing situation. I've noticed in my own journey that there were patterns that I was self-aware of, but I had to clear them out.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, it's like I felt like a whole new person. I felt like I didn't belong in the DNA pool anymore with the other people I was brought up with. And it's very freeing. I don't know. I felt it was very freeing. I don't know about you, but
it is.
Feel it's extremely freeing. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and knowing that we can do that, that's possible and capable, is enormous.
Uh-huh.
And not owning anyone else's experience for our own. And going back to where I was going, it just came back. And it's about the law of attraction and manifesting.
Yeah.
Something really fascinating. And this ties into those stuckness and the changing things and feeling that we're just spinning our wheels in the same old place that people can feel like. A lot of people I'm working with, they're creating things. They're wanting to move forward in specific ways. And something really powerful came in. It's so simple. It's so precise. And the friends pointed to knowing the picture of what you want to bring forward. I'm going to use something specific. Let's say, I'm going to use me, I guess, as an example. Let's say I want to write a book. Mm-hmm. And I really vision touring with a book, and I'm all excited it's done, and I'm envisioning all those things, and I'm envisioning the success of the book, and I really want this to happen. I'm excited. And you go into that body to create that reality, mm-hmm. and they point out that there's a gap. And the gap was living it now. The gap was, as I get to see it through other people, was this person was projecting, I want to be that way then. I want to be really happy. I want to be prosperous. I want to be successful. But they didn't feel it right now at all. And there was a gap. There was a disconnect. And the disconnect became, it isn't about saying, I'm going to be a famous author. I'm going to have all this. It's what is the, and the word that came forward in the session was another really weird word. I actually Googled it while we were together because I said, this isn't unique. It was linchpin. Not the way you might think, but it was about the bridge. That's a kinder word, a more fun word. Linchpin was about being who you are right now to manifest what you want. And it was about embracing that and not like, oh, I'm going to be happy when, you know, we all know that dance. It was, what is it you want to be right now in order to bridge, to be the linchpin for that to happen? And it was, oh, it was bringing the manifestation to present moment. You're not going to have that if you're not happy. It's not going to work. So what is your foundation right here? Ooh, they're getting really passionate about this. What's your foundation right here? Who are you? How do you want to experience yourself? And then it was the aha of, oh, okay. Yeah, I want to be happy. I want to be, here's a big living word from alchemy, senior. It's not about being old. It's about, this is me. This is my body. This is my journey, my experience. I'm senior. Take a big breath and feel that. Mm-hmm. I want to be me in my space and kick all those other people out of the center of my head who've told me I want to be senior. I want to be happy. I want to feel a sense of freedom. And when we embody that, when we're manifesting that for walking our walk, that's when we're manifesting the big stuff without that disconnect gap. Do you see that?
Yeah, I get it. No, it makes total sense. That's what I try to convey to my clients.
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
We all feel that disconnect and forget. Bring it right here, right now. And Lord Metatron has always said, add the emotions.
Yeah.
That's essential. Feel it.
Yes.
You want that book? Feel yourself holding that book that's just published in your hand and turning the page and writing your first signed copy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because you have to feel into it. You can visualize it, you can talk it into existence, but you have to feel into it.
Yeah, there's that vibration.
That's there, that vibration, and people are like, but I want that job, and I want this, and I want that. I said, well, the universe is always going to be wanting, or needing, for that matter. It's how your verbiage, too. You have to feel you're already in that job. You already have to feel into it.
One of my favorite experiences and stories is, how typical is it for us to, or it used to be for me, to say, oh my gosh, I'm just going to use an example of running some errands, and I was concerned that I would forget to bring whatever with me. And I don't want to forget that. And I realized, well, you just set yourself up to forget it. And so I started tweaking my wording. I'm really big on the wording. And using I'm so glad I'm remembering to bring that electric bill with me. Back in the days, when I did that. I'm remembering to bring that with me. And I've been doing that for probably 6 or 8 months, really successful using that. I'm so glad I'm going to remember to. And I was on a flight to Houston and was really excited because I was connecting to South Padre Island, but I was meeting my best friend from childhood. I hadn't seen her in years. And I put, along with my carry-on bag, under the seat, my brand new Nikon SLR. And as I placed it under the seat, I thought, oh, I'm going to forget that. And I didn't correct my thoughts. So I forgot it and left it on the plane.
Oh, no.
I did get it back. But it was a really, there was that 2x4 experience of how important and that it's real. That it wasn't just a, I'm making this up as I go along and yeah, I'm remembering it. No, I really, that tweak of wording and the thought process really mattered.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I do. I remember to do this before I go out and do that. You know, I say that. I remember to do. I just keep doing that. And you're right, it's true, because before I would do the same thing as you did. That is interesting how our phraseology is, our verbiage.
Yeah, it's huge. And then we get some words pop in like panoramic periscope.
Yeah, really. Yeah, you're not gonna forget that.
that was weird. I had to Google that. This feels really interesting. I wanna know more. And it was actually not, I need to write that one down because it was really big. It wasn't it wasn't about a pin passing through the end of an axle, but it was about a, and I'm quoting the little dictionary here, a person or thing vital to an enterprise or organization. So it was really about something vital. And the vital piece was, who are you right now?
Huh.
Who do you want to be to embody the fullness of what you're intending to manifest out there?
Mm-hmm. What is it? Fake it till you make it, act as if? All those wonderful phrases that we've heard. Well, at least I have.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's big girl panties on. That was one of the first early ones. It was like, I just visioned really huge, big granny pants.
Those tidy whities.
Yeah. Well, the ones that came to my mind were as a gag gift at one of my first bridal showers, my bridesmaid, huge pink and white striped nylon panties. They were the biggest ones she could find. It was really fun. They always, when I heard that phrase, that's what popped into my mind. The really crazy part was when I was pregnant, I actually wore them. So.
Wow.
You needed to know that. You needed that visual.
Yeah, I got the visual. I'm very clairvoyant. It's kind of funny because I'll be talking to clients and I'll get the visuals. I'm like, you know, I really don't want to know what you did with your boyfriend last night or your husband, okay? I don't want to know that he got you up against the wall.
Fun.
Yeah.
Right. Or how you put your back out. Let's just see. Bring this into alignment. No details needed.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Just too funny.
I don't need to know a lot of things. You know, it's bad enough I know what I know.
Oh, I got the best card from a dear, wonderful soul sister that I work with, again, for a long time. And it was just to kind of character old ladies laughing on the cover. And I don't remember what the cover said, but inside it said, we could never stop being friends. We know too much about each other.
That's true. That's so true.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is great. That is so true. That is so true. And you always knew you wanted to be a mom?
I did.
You always knew? Really?
Yeah. Well, my husband a couple of times has said, you know, we could have done, like, dogs or puppies. But I did. It has not been easy. I will be the first one to say out loud, it's not been an easy journey. I was really little. I mean, I've probably done the mom thing a few million times over, I guess, maybe. I have four and grandbabies,
oh,
too, all boys. And
I've
been amazing. The youngest one at home is 15, Gavin. He's been an amazing teacher. And there's a big gap between him and the next one, who's 26 years old.
Okay.
I loved being a mom. I loved having little babies. When I got a little older, that's when it was like we went through some really big, huge challenges. And that was like, really? And then this part of my journey, I could see myself kind of laughing, going, wait a minute. I had to just be in that line, you know, that line you get in when you're going to recycle and come back in and go, yeah, I meant to do that. Oh, yeah, I got that. Yes, add that in. I know I can do that too. And I had this really long list. So just said, no problem, I got it.
Yeah. Well, I knew.
But back to the mom piece, did you have something specific to ask me about that?
No, just wondering because I never really felt that pull to become a mom.
I have a lot of friends who felt the same way and are not moms. You know, more at this stage in my life. And that's totally fine.
And I have five fur babies that are cats, but I never felt, I was never like that. My one friend came down and she was visiting from Indiana down to Florida here, and she goes, you would have been a really great mom. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you for that, but no thank you.
Yeah. And good that you knew that. I sat with my daughter. We have a really sweet Mother's Day ritual. And I was at her house Saturday night. We were up way late talking. And she talked about, you know, we just shared that common bond knowing of that very, that biological clock thing. It wasn't quite like that, but that overpowering once we were married type thing and that baby was to come. It was a real deal of a very strong, there's a baby. And I had that, I had distinct experiences with all of my pregnancies, particularly hers.
Because
I had my second one was only 8 months old, and it was, I had a dream, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? Another one? Now? I'm going to tell my husband that? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, really? Yeah. It never was, and I don't think I would have been able to do the work and do the self-discovery and everything if I had had children. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't think people can do it, and that's great, but I have my fur babies, and they're my babies, and I get nervous leaving them with a cat sitter for a week if I have to go away or two. So,
And I have fur babies, too, but they're dogs, and I completely understand that. They are my babies, and you know, I'm sure you know that that's exactly right for you. And
yep,
there are many, many on their spiritual journey that are single. They're alone. Mm-hmm. They don't have a partner or babies, and that's completely okay. You know,
I'd love the partner, you know, ship. I would love to find the right person to travel with and be supportive. But as far as kids, nah, I'm way past that. I'm in my 40s. I'm done with that.
Yeah, and that's cool. Well, you know, just to mention, I'm never afraid anymore. I mean, it felt uncomfortable being younger, feeling different and weird, but anymore I really embrace it. And one of the ways I know how weird I am, and my husband too, is we've been married for like freaking ever, and we'll say how weird it is because we have. That was just our journey. We have been married a long time. And I joke about that, but that's just, we knew we came in to do this together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's cool.
And I still like him.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's great. And I know I'm supposed to have a partner in life, but I'm older. And sometimes it happens when you're supposed to be older, too. I think you get more, everybody has a different path. But, you know, I knew when I was more settled, that's where I'm at in my life right now. So that's cool.
And I love helping everyone know that. Our path is not meant to be like someone else's. Your experience is going to be different than mine. Oh, we're going to have the common threads that are so fun to share and laugh about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about loving where you're at. And that's a big one. Loving where you're at, loving who you are, and realizing to find the humor, to find the joy, and find the acceptance in you're not like me, and that's okay. You're like you. And I love the analogy of the forest and the whatever, however that analogy went, where the tree didn't look at the daisy and go, gee, I wish I was a daisy. They don't do that. Why do we do it?
Yeah. Why do we have to have, oh, you have to get married and have kids. Why do you have to do this? I'm out of three girls. I've been divorced. I don't have children. And I didn't get married when I was in my 20s. I got married when I was 34 or 35 the first time. And that was okay. And I was the first one to divorce and not be unhappy in a marriage. Yeah, everybody's different, Mom.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and what an example you were to your mom that it you could do it different and that's okay.
Oh, yeah. You can do it different. Well,
oh
Pam, we're running out of time. I'm so sorry. We could talk for hours. I think we could. But it's been enlightening. So tell people where we can find you. And I was looking at your website. You said you got to update it, but it's a pretty website. Tell people where we can find you and all that wonderful stuff.
You can find me at www.pamrennie.com. That's PAMRENNIE. And I am passionate about all the things we talked about and more. So take a gander at my site. I do offer a free, I think it's important to connect. So I offer a free consultation. Just to come together in a conversation because, you know, you want to make sure that we'd be a good fit to work together if you're interested. And so Sometimes it's just a conversation that's needed, not even a deep session. So I offer consultations that way, where we just come together and talk for a little bit of time and gather insights and have a divine connection that way, and in addition to the energy work, too.
Well, thank you
for having me.
Show. Oh, thank you for coming on. This was great. This is delightful. This was so delightful. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too. That's the word I was just going to.
Great minds think alike. Well, my name's Amy Toy with Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Join me next week for another fabulous guest. And Amy's out, and may the angels carry you through.